They move it to Miller. JT Miller with a slap pass.
He can make it. He's got it. Touchdown, Seahawks!
Launches one deep left field and gone.
Curry slammed on the brakes. Oh my goodness, Curry!
Hello, hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Live for Sports. My name is Nathan. Joined as always by Mr. Joseph Yussi. Joseph, how we doing? Tuesday night, frozen frenzy on, but.
You know, pretty good considering Ottawa just scored their fourth goal of the first period to go up 4-0 against the future Yetis. So, you know, things are pretty good. So
did that get Connor announced? I was listening to Chicklets today. I didn't get through it all, but they were saying something at the beginning of the episode because they had Ryan Smith on and he confirmed Yetis. I don't know if they were bullshitting.
I don't know. I mean, the thing with Chicklets is like 9 times out of 10, they're wrong. But the one time they're right, it's usually a bombshell. So you never really know with them.
Yeah.
It's going to be the Yetis. Like, look at the colors. Look at the blue and the black and the white. Like, they're not going to change their colors.
No.
Probably.
100%. Okay, you know who else scored 4 goals in the first period, though?
Jean-Gabriel Pageau in the 2017 second round of the playoffs. And that wasn't
the first period.
That was just... No. But... Pains me how people forget that performance.
The Canucks scored 4 goals in the first night, but they gave up 2. So, but they're up
still 4-2.
Still 4-2. Nice. And 2-0. I was seeing a photo on Twitter about how the Canucks had 7 guys on the ice during the fourth goal. Like, they were entering the zone and they had 2 defensemen changing, and they were like, 2 were on the ice and they were not even like that close to the bench yet. And apparently Chicago's bench was livid. And I was watching it live. I'm like,
womp womp.
I was watching it live. I'm like, why does it look like we have way too many players out there right now? What's going on? And then we scored. And then I didn't really notice it until I went on Twitter and saw it. But okay, this episode, what do we got? We got we're gonna talk the Jake Oettinger contract in the NHL because that was a big thing last week. I'm trying to pull up our notes. What do we got going?
Because we're prepared.
Yes, the Nashville Predators are bad.
Or no.
For now, we'll see. That's kind of it for the NHL. We'll talk about the World Series, give our preview for it, go in discussion about it, because I'm sure I know I have thoughts, and I'm sure you will as well. NFL Week 7, maybe talk about the recent trade news today, potentially trade rumors. You see those?
You'll have to be a little more clairvoyant here.
We'll get to it later.
Yeah,
but yeah, and then. Finally, the NBA is back tonight. We got to finish up our standings predictions and then give our awards and our finals picks.
Right, because Bronny is starting up. Is he starting?
He's coming off the bench, but apparently he's coming in like somewhat early. Like, I bet you he comes in like 6 minutes left in the first.
I mean, we'll get to it, and I get the story, but this is so silly to all the like people. Like, I spent a lot of time in the CEBL over the summer. And there's players that are comparable to his skill level. And it's a little ridiculous to me that he gets the red carpet rolled out for him when he was like the 150th best player in college basketball.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Okay. Jake Oettinger, let's start there, I guess. Start in the NHL. Should be quick-ish. 8 years, yeah. $8.25 million, say with the Stars. He was an RFA at the end of the year, I believe. He's 25, 24, 25, something like that. Your thoughts?
I like it. It's a good deal. I know his stats haven't been stellar for a little while, even though he's really good in the playoffs last year. But you can see the talents that he's got. He's one of the best young goaltenders in the league. Dallas, their cap situation, despite being a very good team, is still in good shape because the Sagan and Ben contracts will be ending pretty soon, and they haven't paid Johnson and Hintz. I think is making about $7 million. That's a bargain. Stankoven still on his rookie deal. But what is really good about this deal is it's not $12.5 million like Igor Shesterkin is trying to get. And I realize Shesterkin's way better than Oettinger. But Oettinger at the top of his game is worth way more than the $8.2 million or whatever it is he's making. So that's big. It's huge to get a young, skilled goaltender locked up for the full 8-year term. So Stars fans should be really happy. And yet another really good American goaltender for the Four Nations. He might be on the team, he might not. I think he will be.
I'm going to lean. Depends on Demko.
It'll be him.
Depends on Demko.
I think it'll be him, Hellebuck, and Swayman.
Yeah, no. I think Demko, if he's healthy, is on the team. But if Demko's health is like questionable going in, or if he comes back and he's struggling, then I think they'll probably go Ottinger over him.
Yeah, but in conclusion, it's a good deal. They should be happy with it.
Yeah. I feel like he could have got a little bit more. Like, I feel like he's more proven than Swayman is at this point. Okay, go ahead. Well, yeah, you're going to say no tax.
Yes, that's exactly what I was going to say.
I was getting there. But yeah, no tax market. In no state tax in Texas. So he signs 825. 825 is becoming the standard for goalies, I guess, because it started with Sorokin. I believe Hellebuck was right after, went 8.5. But then now you got Swayman signing there. You got Ottinger signing there. I don't think I'm missing anyone, but
Saros is like 7.4 or something like that.
He's 7.74. He went like his jersey number, I'm pretty sure.
That's so corny. I hate it when they do that. Unless it's Crosby. Crosby's the only one that is allowed to do it.
Because he wears 74, right? I think.
Yes. Yes, yeah. He does.
That's a weird goalie number, I must say. But
I hate goalie numbers. I like it when it's unique. Everyone does 30 or 31. Like, let's be like Ilya Brizgalov and wear 80 out of nowhere.
The 30s are kind of the goalie number, I guess.
Come on. It's like wide receivers. I was so happy when the NFL relaxed their rules. Now they can wear single digits.
Mm-hmm. I guess I kind of want to lead into Shesterkin, I guess. So he wants, he turned down 8x11, the report was. So chances are his 8x12 request was right. I think we've talked about this in past episodes, but how does this look for him now that all these other goalies are signing these locked in, like all these good goalies? Obviously, I think he's the best, but all these other goalies are signing 8x8, mid eights, basically, we'll call it. And he wants nearly $3.5 million more.
Yeah.
I think more than that. Yeah.
There's two schools of thought, basically. There's one area where, like, he's clearly the best goaltender in the league when he's on, clearly. So he should be paid the most. But there's the other school of thought where it's like 12.5 million. That's $1.5 million, $2 million more than prime Carey Price got. And I realize it's a different economic situation than it was back in 2015 or whenever that deal was signed. But I don't know, like Ottinger, when he's on his game, isn't that far off of Shesterkin. And I know it's New York. I know there's a lot of tax there. And he'd probably end up making less money at the end of the day than Ottinger would in Texas. But man, I mean, that's just a lot of money. I'd pay him 10 and a half, 11 and call it a day.
I think based off all these contracts being signed, I think they're going to settle at like 11. He'll come back to the table and take that.
He's an RFA, right?
No, he's UFA.
He's got leverage then.
He can walk.
I'd go to market if I was him.
Yeah. So we'll see. Yeah. I just can't see teams shelving up like $12 million to pay him. Like maybe Chicago, but like they're just not at that stage where they're ready to pay a goalie that much money. And you kind of got to worry about Bedard's contract coming up. And it'll be this offseason, I guess they can sign it. But yeah, we'll see.
Because they're not paying Hall or Foligno or Anthony Seau.
They've signed them all to these like 2-year contracts to basically be like, okay, here's your money now. Once Bedard's ready, we're going to pay him. Like, they'll have a shit ton of money to pay Bedard whatever he wants. Wonder if Bedard takes like a team friendly. Wonder.
Depends on the success they have in the next 2 years or year.
That will be interesting to see. Okay. I'm good there. I don't know if you are, but
yeah, we're good. Okay. I like the way Jim Nill's built Dallas. He's done a very good job.
Yes. He's locked up his key core pieces to very good deals.
Goes to show what a good drafting can do. We all remember
that. I still feel like Dallas lacks like an elite center. I wouldn't call Hintz an elite center, if that makes sense.
He's a 1B.
Yeah.
He's a number one, but he's not like, you know, he's not.
I always think to win a cup, you need like an elite center on your team. Maybe like the Blues in 2019 is the exception, even though Ryan O'Reilly was really good then. But you can't, like I kind of said for years, Vegas isn't going to win the cup until they get a number one center. And then they got Eichel, and then they won the cup.
It's weird because Eichel's great, but he's not far. He's better than Ryan O'Reilly 2019. But he's not like by a stratosphere. And he's not, I'd say him and Hintz are pretty equal at this point in their careers. I've always felt Eichel's a little overrated.
I think Eichel's underrated, if anything, to be honest.
Can't stay healthy, Nathan. He can't stay healthy. I mean, he's a great player, but he's not, because remember, he said it himself in 2015 that he thought he was a better player than McDavid. Now, I know you're not going to say, oh, yeah, he's better than me leading up to being drafted. I know he's not going to say that. But there was kind of similar to Matthews Laine, there was a legitimate debate for about a month in 2015 whether or not, because Eichel had a great season at Boston University.
Yeah, he won the Hobey Baker, didn't he? As a freshman, I think.
Yeah, his stats were better than Celebrini's.
All right, moving on. Nashville Predators. They are current. Well, every team's playing tonight, but they're still leading 1-0 over the Bruins, but they have started 0-5 after spending all that money on Stamkos, on Jonathan Marchessault, and Brady Shea. Not been a good start, and I'm surprised because I was really high on them. I had them first in Central, and now they just suck. Like, what's going on?
I don't think they suck. They haven't been getting saves. It was going to take a minute for Stamkos to adjust. He'd been in a place for 15 years, however long it's been. It was going to take some time with it. Whole new setting, whole new climate, whole new teammates, new arena, new facilities. He's got to get his family settled in. It was going to take a bit of time. The thing is with them, they're deceptively old.
Yes.
Stamkos is old. O'Reilly is old. Marchessault isn't old, but he's not in his I wouldn't say he's in his prime anymore. Who's that defenseman they brought in? Pesci. He's getting old. Saros is.
It's Shea.
Shea.
Yeah.
Carolina defenseman.
Yeah.
My mistake. Saros is like 28, 29. Like, there was a chance that they're just too old. I don't think that's necessarily the case because there's a lot of time left to go. And I think they're going to round into form because they're a very well built team. And Yossi hasn't done very much just yet. But it's surprising that they're 0-5.
It is a weirdly built team, I guess. You have this one, they basically have two cores. And
it's
I top
heavy.
It's a lot of like the Stamkos, Marchessault, O'Reilly, Yossi. Like those guys, they're all kind of like right grouped together, same age. I think Nyquist is around there too, maybe a little younger. But I don't know. Forsberg's probably what, 31 now?
I love Forsberg. He's so underrated.
Yes. But it's kind of a weird core because you have those group players and then the rest of your team is kind of filled out with these like 22, 23-year-olds, I want to say, like in their bottom six.
Like
and,
Evangelista.
Yeah, and Novak. I think Novak's a little bit older, but it's a weirdly constructed team. I almost wonder if Trotz is rushing their rebuild a little bit because I kind of liked where they were going.
But then again, were they rebuilding? Not really.
Retooling, I'd call it.
Yeah, but then you can't rush a retool. The whole point of a retool is that it's like, you know, it's a built-in rush. You can't rush the rush, right?
Yeah.
Like, I'm looking at their schedule here to start the year. Okay, first game, you lose to Dallas. Okay, we can accept that. 4-3. Then you get shut out by Detroit. We all agree the Eiser plan's in shambles. Then you lose 7-3 to Seattle. The whole thing with Seattle is they can't score. So 7-3. And then you lose to the Oilers 4-2. You and I both agree that the Oilers are better than what they've shown. Like they're winning. They're beating Carolina right now, 2-0 behind two Mick Goat goals. And then they lose to Detroit again, 5-2. Like you're losing to Detroit twice. Detroit doesn't have a goalie. Detroit's in cap hell. Detroit plays Justin Hull voluntarily. Like there's some red flags going up. I mean, they'll be all right. They'll put it together. Like, it's like with Edmonton, nobody's having a full on freak out, and they still have the trade deadline to come up to augment their core. But it does raise some alarm bells over the sustainability of the core because with them, they have about a 2-3 year window before everyone's too old and they have to strip it down. And if year one goes to shit, then there's some real questions to be raised.
Did you see that Puck Empire post about when they started 0-5? It was like, I think there's been no team since like 95, 96 to start with 5 regular season losses and make the playoffs.
No, I didn't see that.
It was something like that. I can find it. But it was something along those lines that like no team has made the playoffs starting 0-5 with 5 regulation loss.
Stats like that are interesting, but it lacks context. Like, I'm sure tons of shit last place teams have finished started over five. And there's also teams like Edmonton. Hate to bring up my Oilers for the 87th time, but they've started 2-9-1. I doubt very many 2-9-1 teams make the playoffs, let alone the finals.
Okay, here's the stat. The Predators are the 18th team in the last 57 years to start off a season with five consecutive regulation losses. Sorry, only six of those 17 teams have made the playoffs, which is 35%, and none since 95-96.
Yeah, so that's a problem. But I don't know. I mean, they're not in the hardest division in the league. The Central is a good division, but it's not like insane. They got the talent. They got the experience. There's a lot of cups on that roster, right? Well, three, if you... The two Stamkos and Stamkos, Marchessault, O'Reilly. There's quite a few.
Yeah. So Shen's got one or two, doesn't he?
Yeah, but does he really count?
Sure. Why not?
Luke Shen,
they've got a couple guys who made the finals. Yossi's still around. Yeah. Forsberg was on that team.
Was Fabro around at that point?
I believe Saros was the backup by then, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Fabro wouldn't have been around. No.
Quickly, I want to shout out Luke Shen because he was left for dead after Toronto and Tampa and Arizona at the time, and he just got 1,000 games because remember, everyone was calling him a bust.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody. And here he is, 1,000 games. That's a lot of games. You can't be a bust if you play 1,000 games. So congratulations to him. He reinvented himself as a real shutdown guy. Because at the beginning, he was kind of a two-way tweener type. Like, he would score occasionally, but he completely reinvented himself into a two-way. So congratulations to you. You escaped Toronto.
I loved when he was in Vancouver. I wish they could have like brought him back when he signed with the... Was it the Leafs for that off? Or no, they traded him.
No, he was
the
traded.
Leafs. And then,
yeah,
and then they, yeah. I was hoping they'd bring him back after they traded him, but oh well. No shout out Tyler Myers on 1,000 game. Just kidding.
Well, he had a horrendous turnover on that second goal.
Yeah, it wasn't that great.
I mean, like, you know my feelings on Tyler Myers. He's good as a third pairing guy, but anything more than that, you're pushing the envelope.
I agree. I want to quickly, before we move on from the NHL, I want to ask you, what's going on with Zach Hyman? 0 points in six games.
Okay. I've been following this because I watch more Edmonton games than the average person. He's not burying his tap-ins, basically. The thing is with Zach Hyman is he gets himself into good position, and some players are not willing to withstand the 1,000 cross-checks that happen when you're in front of the net. Some, like William Nylander is not that type of winger, but Zach Hyman will do that, and he'll go into the corners and he'll fight. And he's got a good shot, too. Like, he's not a bum. You can't be a bum and score 53 goals or whatever it was. This year, McDavid and Draisaitl and Nugent Hopkins have been setting him up for tap-ins, and he's just shooting it right into the crests or into the pads. Like, I don't know if you follow Jay Fresh on Twitter too much, but he does his little percentages, his expected goals, and Zach Hyman is dead last amongst forwards in expected goals, or not expected goals, in goals scored above expectation.
Okay.
So he should have, like, by his metrics, four goals.
Okay.
He's just not able to finish it just yet.
Weird.
Like, I think McDavid's up there too, even though he just scored two tonight. But
I think the Oilers as a whole were like dead last.
Yeah. Well, their PDO is like horrendous. Yeah. It's like Canucks penalty kill PDO of like 2021. It's like, because Skinner's not stopping anything and they're not finishing anything.
Oh, Skinner not stopping pucks? Why am I not surprised?
I don't know, man. I mean, hey, man, I'd be more concerned if I was you, considering the Four Nations are coming up and we're going to have to play Aiden Hill.
Yeah, that's true. That's
because Bennington hasn't started well. You're not bringing Marc-Andre Fleury out of old folks home.
No, it's a little rough.
Have to do a full projection. Oh, quickly, because I know we got other stuff to talk about. I heard Elliot Friedman say the other day that Tom Wilson is considered a shoo-in for the Four Nations. I am literally going to go insane if that happens. He's shooting 40%. He isn't good. Congratulations, Dylan Strome. You've set him up for a few nice goals. He's not good at hockey. He's just big and dumb and occasionally scores.
Like, there might be like 50 Canadian players better than him.
More than that. I mean, if you want an agitator, you got Marchand. You don't need him. You might as well bring Ridly Greig. Like, if that's what you really want. I mean, like, my God. And I want to talk about one more hockey thing briefly, and then I'll cede your attention. But did you see like the Leaf conspiracy theory that George Parros has it out for them Ekman Larson? Yeah. Like, yes, George Parros is a fraud and he shit at his job and the Department of Player Safety is a joke. But he's not penalizing the Leafs because he got knocked out in a fight 12 years ago. Like, get over yourself. That's not the reason. It's just because they get more media attention and more people sees the games. Like, remember Nazem Kadri had his multiple playoff suspensions and Leaf fans were all sobbing? And then you look at the footage and you're like, yep, I can see it. Like, that reverse hit Backman Larson, it's a fine. It's a $5,000 fine. It's not a suspension. It's just, look, he's just got his buyout money from the Canucks. He'll be all right. He doesn't have to take anything, take a grant out or anything. He can pay it. Like, he made it all back today. He made it all back in the first 10 minutes of the game. Calm down.
Yeah, I agree. I will say, in regards to the suspension or the fine, sorry, my mic's fucking shit. The stand. I saw a Leafs fan saying, like, this Pastrnak reverse hit, I think in the playoffs last year, was the exact same. I'm like, no.
Boo hoo. It was a fine. Not. Good Lord.
I think it's fine. I think the hit is almost mostly fine. Like, I don't think it should be finable, if you ask me. I think it's a little bit soft. But if you are calling it a fine, then Ekman Larson's deserves to be a fine much more than Pastrnak's. I'm sorry, Pastrnak, if you watch the video of, like, what they were showing, Pastrnak plays the puck right as Tavares gets there and puts it back into it. It's perfectly clean. Ekman Larson makes no attempt at the puck whatsoever.
It's textbook interference. Mm-hmm. And then I got to see Rachel Dory, who's been fired by two different teams, whine and cry about how the Leafs are so oppressed. Like, good Lord. Like, enough.
Okay.
Like, get over yourself.
World Series time?
Yeah.
Maybe the best possible World Series, but at the same time, it is the worst possible series. Joseph, I'll let you explain that.
Yeah, so that's probably the prevailing opinion of most people. I have a very small soft spot for the Dodgers because of, I saw Jackie Robinson's movie 42 in theaters, and I thought it was really cool. And I thought Chadwick Boseman was really cool for, like, my entire life until he died. So I have a very small soft spot for the Dodgers because of that. Like, against Tampa Bay in 2020, that was kind of like this one, a double hater. I was fine when they won. This year, for the love of God, Los Angeles, save us from Yankee fans. Save us from, like, we already got to hear 27 rings every time anyone criticizes the Yankees. We already got to hear ESPN and Yes Network and their erections last more than 4 hours. They need to call the hotline. Like, my goodness, save us. Save us. I know the Ohtani glazing will be hard to listen to, but nobody likes either, or barely anyone outside of New York and Los Angeles like these teams. Rob Manfred's wetting his pants. They're doing a documentary somehow. They've organized that in a week.
Wait, they're doing a documentary on this World Series?
On the World Series. It's kind
I feel
of
like
insane.
They kind of do, like, something like that every year, but yes, they're actually doing a full, like, is it like a Netflix doc?
I think it's Amazon.
Oh, okay.
But, like, there's always, like, a little mini movie. Like, I know the NBA Finals always do mini movies, and that's cool as hell. But this is a little much, I find. Like, did you see the MLB Twitter account tweeting out New York Yankees and then Los Angeles
Dodgers? I saw that.
Like, that is so corny. Like, come on. Like, you think you're going to do that for Cleveland Guardians? Of course not.
Now, in terms of this world, like I said, probably the best possible World Series, but the worst at the same time. So, my stance on it, insane matchup. Probably the two best teams in baseball on paper.
Oh, yeah.
Problem is, everyone hates these teams because they pay everyone's top players and, like, steal them away from them. And owners don't pay up and pay their star guys when they should. And it's anytime there's a trade for a big guy, it's like, oh yeah, they're involved. Like, I saw the Lakers or the Dodgers, sorry, they're trying to get, like, Willy Adames in the offseason. He's not like a star, but, like, come on. How do you have this much money again, like, kind of thing? They'll probably be in, like, Bo Bichette trade talks, if there is any, which there probably will. And, like, the Yankees, they're just fucking hate them, dude. They're just so annoying. I'm definitely cheering.
Quickly, very quickly.
Okay.
Do you want a quick bit of baseball trivia?
Okay.
Do you know who, between the owners of Cleveland and the owners of the New York Yankees, do you want to know who's richer?
Cleveland owner.
It is. Yeah. He is worth more than Hal Steinbrenner.
Isn't he, like, the fourth richest owner?
He's up there.
Yeah.
And he will not pay. He will not do it. And that's weak as hell. Now, mm-hmm. I know market size, and I know the Yankees are the most valuable baseball team by a wide margin. I get that. But this guy wakes out of bed, takes a shit, and wipes his ass with a $100 bill. Like, come on, man. He's got fuck you money. You can pay your guys.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he wouldn't pay Lindor.
Yeah, he didn't. But he paid Ramirez, which was kind of surprising a little bit. But...
on a cheap-ass deal, considering. Like, he
yeah,
could
what
have
was it, like,
waited more.
5-year, 120 or something like that?
Yeah, like, ridiculous. Like that's what's his name? Emmanuel Quickly money.
It's weird. I don't like the Dodgers because as a team, but I like their players. I like, I really, I'm like, I think I said this last episode too. Ohtani to me is like your McDavid. I want to see him be good for his legacy. He should. Same as Trout, but Trout's a different story because the Angels suck. He needs to get out there. Betts, I weirdly like too. Like, I don't know. I just like his vibe. Even though he was a Red Sox player, like, I just like his vibe. Seems like a good dude.
Freeman, I like making fun of him.
Yeah. Okay. Freeman. Great dude. Honestly, I was sad when the Jays didn't get him, but yeah. And they just don't really have a lot of like dislikable guys on their
they
team.
Got Teoscar.
Yep, Teoscar is on the team. But how great does that look now? Ross trading
Nathan,
Teoscar and
do you
Lourdes, and then
remember?
1 year Lourdes is in the World Series, the next Teoscar is in the World Series.
Yeah, I was fine with the Lourdes trade. It didn't work. Well, Varsho is good, but blah blah blah. Do you remember when the Hernandez trade broke, and we were kind of still getting to know each other? And I said Nathan Mailey, this is going to be a bad trade because you don't give away this kind of player for some ho-hum reliever. Do you remember
Actually,
I said that?
I actually don't know.
It was, we were in the TV room, or
Okay.
not in the TV room, whatever studio, where we had that first meeting.
Okay.
Was it where
Studio
we were?
3?
Yeah,
No,
Studio 3.
Studio 2. 2.
Where,
Or 3, because 3 is the upstairs one. Are you
yeah,
talking about the upstairs?
No. I'm talking about Studio 3.
Okay.
And that trade broke.
Oh,
And
actually, I think I do remember this
because
now.
do you remember? Because you were on your phone, and they put you on the TV, and I was like, Nathan, you're on the TV.
Oh, but yeah. Okay, I remember this. Was this a
this
video?
was advanced journalism.
No, was this the Jesse class? What was it?
Oh, for fuck's sake! I totally forgot about that class. I forgot about I haven't thought of him in about a year. Because we're coming up on a year since Mr. David and his simulation.
Oh my god! Fuck me. Was that like first semester last year?
Yeah.
Wow.
Because remember, Brielle was first semester as well.
Yep. Okay. Wow.
But yeah, I remember. I do distinctly remember saying that trade was going to end poorly, and it did.
The Juan Soto home run to put them through was so sick, I must say. I'm a Juan Soto fan, I say, but I hate him on the Yankees.
I liked him on the Padres. I thought that was where he was going to stay.
Yeah.
So I like the Padres.
I like Juan Soto. I love Juan Soto. Juan
Quick
Soto's sick.
Quick Juan Soto point. People putting the Moneyball music over that
they've
home
been
run.
they've been doing
Like,
that with every single big home run
yes,
these playoffs.
Yes, I know. But do you realize that Juan Soto is literally the antithesis of Moneyball? a rich team buying a player essentially from not that San Diego is a poor team, but like a rich team buying the best player, and him making a shit ton of money and on a very prestigious team, and that's not what Moneyball and the former of the
you want to
Oakland
put the
A's are
Moneyball
about.
homer on something, you put it on the Noel home run or the David Fry home run.
Big Christmas, baby.
That was so sick, that call. Oh my god.
That game, whatever game it was,
game
that
3.
Fucking cameraman.
No, game 4. Game 4. You're talking about game 4.
Whatever, I don't know what game it was, but I was watching it. I have not been duped by. Usually, I know. Usually, hate to pat myself on the back, but usually I know. I can hear it. I was convinced. I was like, let's go. And then the camera dips and I'm like, oh.
Warning track.
And then I'm like, uh-oh, this might be off the wall. And that's a warning track. Like, it wasn't even like close. That really bothered me. That I was so wrong.
Yeah. I guess prediction. I don't know. We kind of talked about it.
It's going 7.
It deserves to go 7.
Because I'm always wrong, I'm going to do a bit of a reverse jinx. Because every single like championship series, like the past 3 years, my teams always lose. So I'm going to say the Yankees in 7. Garrett Cole, MVP.
I'm going to take the opposite. I'm going to go Dodgers in 7. And I think Ohtani's going to win MVP. He's going to do something like second game 7 to win it. Like, have like a clutch like double or homer or some shit like that. And he'll win it. I saw a stat about Ohtani these playoffs before, I think, like one of the games in the Mets series, but like he was like 0 for something with nobody on base in the playoffs. But then when he had runners on him, like on base, he was like 7 for like 20 or something, or 7 for like 13 or some shit like that.
Yeah, something ridiculous. I saw that too.
But anyways, NFL. Okay. I'll quickly do my recap, and then I will bring up discussions. I didn't watch a crazy amount of football. I was busy Sunday. And like the 10 o'clock games, only watching the Seahawks, of course. Start with Thursday night, Broncos, Saints. Saints are bad again. That fall off was crazy. Seahawks, Falcons, we're back. That was a good win. We desperately needed that, like, a lot. And just to go cross country, win a blowout a team in their home stadium, who's not like not a bad team too. Like, Falcons are good. I picked the Falcons to win the South this year. Pats, Jags. I don't wake up for London games. Can't do it.
Patriots. Bro, game I woke plan. Up at 9 a.m. today, and I thought I was going to die.
Patriots game plan for that game I heard was terrible. Like, they just were handing the ball off, even though the Jags have like the worst secondary in the league. Bills, Titans, didn't watch. Titans started up like 10-0 in that game though, but Josh Allen. I want Josh Allen needs flowers. He hasn't thrown a pick this year through what's it been 7 games they've played. I don't think they've had a bye. No interceptions after everyone says he's like the most turnover prone quarterback in the league. One of them. Colts, Dolphins, man, Tim Boyle, how are you on an NFL roster? Did you see his throw on fourth down, like at the end of the game?
No, I don't make a habit of watching non-Tua Dolphins.
Okay, so it was 4th and 5, I want to say. They're in Colts territory. I don't think they're in field goal, or they need a touchdown anyway, so it doesn't matter. The Colts rush 3. Boyle like throws like a lob down the sideline, like probably like a go route to somebody. I think he just thought he had like no time, but he threw it away. He threw it behind his receiver and it was out of bounds. It was not catchable whatsoever. Like, he threw it. You know how there's the big like white stripe on the sideline?
Yeah.
He threw it to a guy like standing 5 feet behind that, who like a ball boy. It was crazy. Know. It was like terrible. I was like, what the fuck are you doing?
Ugh, they're going to rush Tua back and he's going to die.
Yeah, we'll see how that goes. He's supposed to be back this week, so we'll see if they can save their season somewhat. Lions, Vikings. Good win for your
for my
secondary
Lions? Okay, yeah. Well, God, I'm such an NFL fraud. I cheer for so many teams. Like, you make fun of me about my Oiler fandom, but I like the Vikings because my favorite YouTuber growing up, before I was talking to girls, was a Vikings fan. And so I kind of like them. And I like purple. I like it when teams wear non-traditional colors. So good for my Lions. I do think the media glaze of the Lions is a little much. They haven't won anything. I like Dan Campbell as much as the next guy. But let's chill out a tad, I think.
I think the only thing stopping the Lions is Dan Campbell. I think he's a good coach. He's a great motivator and stuff. But like, some of his play calling when it comes to like games and stuff, it's like, chill out.
It's like
gotta
Brandon
relax
Staley a little bit.
He likes to get really aggressive with like fake punts and trick plays and stuff.
And I like that. That's cool. But there's a
once
time
a
and a place.
Once in a while. But they do like one or two every game. It's like, come on. You don't need to do this. Like, relax.
And I'm happy for Jared Goff that because Sean McVay kind of dumped him. And he was good in Los Angeles and St. Louis. So good for him that he's found a home there. What a win-win trade.
Bengals versus Browns. Deshaun, nice knowing you. Your time in the NFL is over, probably.
The funny thing about my Achilles is that it's located on my cock. Joking about sexual harassment, what has my life become? But yeah, see ya. That might be it. They might just caught him in the offseason.
Oh, Canucks.
Goal? Who?
Yeah.
I have the Ottawa game on in the background.
Want to say it's Besser? It's Besser.
I'll say Besser? Okay. That's nice. Happy to see Miller score. Baines does nothing. He needs to go down.
Yeah, he's...
He literally does nothing. He's literally out there skating.
He's not good.
Like, I get it. He's local, and that's cool, but come on. He's not
like,
ready.
Sprong is not that good. Well, like,
he's
is.
Not,
but...
I was like, is he a talkative player? And
he's not.
Very
he's
much
literally
isn't.
Just a cheap Kuzmenko.
And that's the thing with Rick Tocchet. He's really good, but if he decides he doesn't like you, you're fucked.
Yeah, you got to be on his good side. Packers, Texans, didn't watch much of this game. Jordan Love apparently was just like throwing it all over the field.
Of course, he's my quarterback in my fantasy.
He had like 3 touchdowns and 2 picks.
So
he still had
like
one.
He had like 188. He threw for like 188.
I thought he had like 18 fantasy points. Am I tripping? I have him on my super flex.
I'm not happy with him. It might be Herbert time.
18-8. 220 for with three passing touchdowns.
Yeah, 220 is nothing special, mate.
But like for 18.8 fantasy points, I'll take it. That was like what he was projected.
Well, of course, Mike Evans got hurt and Singletary does fuck all. So
yeah, why are you playing Singletary now?
And the Jets defense. Tyrone Tracy season. The Jets defense frauds. Yeah. Jesus. But yeah, I'm a fantasy football novice.
Eagles Giants Saquon revenge game.
He's kinda on my team. That was a good pick by me.
Kind of knew that was going to come. Commanders Panthers. Is it time for Bryce Young again?
Well, Andy Dalton
looked good at all.
And he was in a car accident.
Yes, I was going to say that too today. Just happened a couple hours ago.
Well, I mean, I think Bryce Hall's beyond Bryce Hall, whatever his name, Bryce Young. I think he's almost beyond saving. I think they've almost ruined him. I think they've Deshaun Kizer'd him. So, or Sam Darnold back in the day before he was good, or even Josh Rosen. Like, it goes to show, like, I know it's different, like, in Kansas City when Mahomes sat for a year because they had Alex Smith and Alex Smith was still good, but they ruined him because he was raw. He was not a Trevor Lawrence prospect.
Nope.
He was good, but he's like 5'9", and he doesn't have the strongest arm.
And he's not even like that athletic. He's not that quick.
He's not Kyler. He's not Kyler Murray. So
he doesn't
I think he's done.
He's going to get back in eventually. Yes, and that will be his make or break time.
Yeah. I think his career trajectory is something along the lines of Justin Fields at this point.
I think he might be like a. I think he's going to maybe bounce around. Like maybe like not what Geno did, because Geno just is like an anomaly of how he sat behind like three different quarterbacks as backup and now is like a good quarterback.
What's Geno, 6'3"? Like it's really hard.
Another knuckle.
Now I know this is a bad example because there's a whole lot of other reasons why he failed. But Johnny Manziel, part of the reason why he sucked was because he was 5'10" and he could not see over the O-lineman. Now he failed for a whole bunch of reasons, but it's really hard to be successful in the NFL at 5'9", 5'10", whatever he is. Like, who's the best short quarterback of all time? Russell Wilson? And he's, what, 5'11"?
5'10", I think. But, yeah, maybe.
And he can run. He's not a runner, but he can run.
He, at the beginning of his career, was.
Yeah.
And then I think he got, like, a knee injury 1 year, and he kind of just, like, didn't really want to run anymore.
And he had an objectively good arm.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Where was I?
Steelers?
No, I'm getting back to it right now. Rams Raiders didn't really watch.
Yawn.
Chiefs Niners Super Bowl rematch. Brock Purdy's a fraud being exposed. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah.
I've been saying it for so long.
He doesn't have Debo.
Okay, this is the thing though. Everyone's narrative has been he can't do it without his weapons, and all the Niner and Purdy lovers have been like, no, he's a good quarterback. He will do it without his.
He's a good quarterback. Apparently he's just not elite. He's the new Joe Flacco without the ring.
Okay, apparently not. Like, he's without his weapons and he's not carrying them at all. He threw three picks and threw no touchdowns, and his passes in that Chiefs game were just not good.
Part of it, I think, is Kyle Shanahan is a fraud. So, I think he's a bit of a fraud. I don't think a lot of people blame Matt Ryan for 28-3, but really it was his play calling.
Yeah, sure. I'll give you that a little bit. And then they blew. What was it, 24-14? I think no.
Yeah. Well, they were winning. It was
20-10.
What was that? 2019.
2020. I guess technically would have been the year. It was right before COVID.
Yeah. So, like, I don't know. I mean, there's time, but the Chiefs. I've never in my life seen a luckier team than them. Like, I watched. I think it was Purdy's second pick, the one in the end zone, and I was like, "What the fuck was that? I could have caught that ball." Because it was just horrible.
Yeah. Whatever. Jets Steelers. Oh my god, my mic.
I'm very happy to see Aaron Rodgers be exposed as the twerp that he is.
We are very happy to see that Russell Wilson is back. I love it.
Is he though?
Apparently what'd he throw, 245 and like three touchdowns and a rushing touchdown.
Well, can you imagine if he lost? Considering how well Fields was playing, or how good enough Fields was playing,
it started out rough, but then he turned it up, and he's like the perfect quarterback for George Pickens. Yeah. Just throw those moon balls to him down the sideline, and he'll probably come up with it.
Yeah, and you know, good for him because I'm not a Russell Wilson guy because I'm a bit of a Steeler hater. But there's few people I hate in football more than Sean Payton. So I like to see him eat shit a little bit. Because how is Sean Payton still allowed in football? Now, you're probably a little young for Bounty Gate, and I was too, to be honest.
I remember this, yeah.
But like he organized a scheme to pay players to hurt people. Like how are you? It's not akin to like a cheating scandal, but it's like, it's ridiculous. And he's so arrogant too, so fuck him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, love to see Russ back. He's still my favorite player of all time. He was my quarterback when I first got into football.
That's my team. That's my quarterback.
That's my quarterback.
Love Terrell Owens.
And especially now that he's not on Denver, he's so easy to root for as a Seahawks fan because it doesn't matter. We won the trade. Now he's in Pittsburgh. We can just root for him.
Isn't that funny? Like, they didn't get an impact player, but just because of the draft picks they won and how bad he was.
Did you just say we didn't get an impact player?
Drew Lock didn't do anything.
We got Devin Witherspoon from that trade. I think we got
He wasn't a draft pick?
He was the draft pick that we got.
What did I just say, Nathan? You didn't get an impact player. You got draft picks, is what I was saying.
Like, yeah, we didn't need
referring to Drew Lock. Okay. I was saying it's funny that without like a player, usually in those kind of deals, you get a player back. That Drew Lock was kind of ass. And
no,
now he's gone.
No offense, all right, this tight end.
I mean,
yeah, I was kind of high on Noah Fant, but
just a quick Russell Wilson point. Now he didn't call the play, and I'm sorry to bring up your PTSD here, Nathan. But can you imagine if it was any? He got no blame for that play. Essentially, it was all the Pete Carroll, the OC, whatever his name was, and Ricardo Lockett. Can you imagine if it was Tony Romo in the height of his career, or Philip Rivers, or any of the Mannings?
If they were in a bigger market than Seattle, like if they were in a Dallas, if they were in a New York.
Seattle, I understand what you mean by market, but Seattle, I think Seattle has more people than Dallas.
But like in terms of football,
I know
marketing,
what you
like,
mean.
Yeah,
I know
yeah,
what you mean.
Yeah.
But like people, it wasn't a great throw. But that's one of those situations. Now, obviously, you don't know the dynamics. But call a fucking audible. It's second down.
Oh,
anyway,
Blackhawks goal. Tyler Bertuzzi, it looks like. And yes, Aaron Rodgers. Holy shit, the Jets have problems, and it's kind of all their mood on the sideline is awful, and it's all Rodgers. Rodgers is just bringing
He's
so much negative
brat.
Energy to this team. They need a culture shift. It's funny how Zach Wilson had this team 4-3 this time last year, and now the Jets are with a better roster. And they finally have a quarterback. Are 2-5.
Well, this is not 2013 Aaron Rodgers, and we all know that. But man, Zach Wilson was terrible, and he was like at one point it's got to fall on Rodgers. Mm-hmm. Can't blame it on Saleh anymore. And the defense wasn't good, obviously. But
the defense hasn't been good since Saleh left.
Yeah. So come on.
Ravens, Bucks. I'm curious. Godwin injury late. People are whining about why is he still in the game on Twitter. I don't think they have a reason to be whining. To be honest,
it's football. It's a contact sport.
And
fans pay a lot.
You're down by 10 with under a minute left. You just got an onside kick too and went down and scored or whatever. You can go down, score again, try another onside kick. Like the game is not over. It's highly unlikely you're gonna win because you need two scores and an onside kick. But, quit whining about it. Like it didn't look that bad. Cardinals, Chargers.
I'm not happy with how they're using Herbert. He's better than I know Harbaugh's a run guy, but let's stretch the ball a little bit here. He's got one of the most talented arms in the league.
Well, keep in mind last night too, they could not run the football. They had to turn to Herbert to throw, and he was throwing good, but his receivers just couldn't make big plays when they needed it. And they just couldn't get the ball in the end zone.
I was wondering about Davante Adams for them, but obviously he had his sights set on New York.
So let's talk about this now. So Cooper Kupp gets brought up in trade rumors today.
That's right.
Rams are apparently calling teams saying, hey, he's available. We want this in return. We're going to deal him. We'll take salary and we want a second round pick. Where is Cooper Kupp going to go if he is traded? Because I believe the deadline is in 2 weeks.
It's hard. It's hard to say because he's very good, but he's also been very injured recently. And it's been a while since he had his 140 catch season. So I don't think he'd get more than a third, I would think. So
if they, if they're retaining money, though, I think they can maybe get a second.
Maybe. Like, where could he go?
And I think the Rams, who are going to be like, okay, we don't want to move this guy. Like, we'd prefer to have him, but if we'll only move him if our demand is met of a second.
Maybe, maybe Dallas. Jerry Jones, you got to think, is getting pissed.
Maybe.
Maybe the other Los Angeles team? Chargers?
Yeah, I've heard that one thrown around a little bit. The Chiefs are the big team that's getting mentioned right now.
Please, please don't do that. Jesus, please. Please don't. Because then they walk to a Super Bowl. And it's crazy because Kelsey's so washed. And Rashee Rice is a criminal. And, like, they're still so good. Like how is this happening? How are they this good?
In one under the radar one that I've thought of in my mind, and it's not being talked about enough. Tampa Bay just lost Godwin. Godwin's like their main slot guy. Cup plays mainly in the slot. He's probably Evans the best slot receiver in the league. Evans is also hurt now too. You kind of need a weapon for Baker. They're 4-3 now. They're tied with the Falcons still for the division.
Very winnable division.
Yes.
Even the Falcons could.
I think they're fine with Mooney. Mooney's been a good wide receiver too for them so far.
Right. So they got London.
And then they got Bijan and they got Pitts, who's been up and down a little bit, but it's possible. I won't rule it out, but just anywhere but the Chiefs.
Yeah.
I wonder if the Niners maybe are interested if Ayuk's out, but I don't really know how they'd actually no, never mind. They're not gonna trade him in division. That won't happen.
No.
Okay, that wraps up NFL for what I want to talk about. NBA?
Sure. Okay. Has Bronny played yet? Is my question.
I will check right now.
And also the Predators are up 2-0 against Boston, so maybe we're all right and it's all okay.
Bronny has yet to play.
And they're winning.
So maybe he'll get some garbage time minutes.
Who started at shooting guard? Reeves, okay.
It was Reeves, Stilo, Hachimura.
Well, Stilo's kind of a tweener. And so is Reeves, technically. So there. And LeBron plays a lot of point guard.
Yeah, it's more just get Bron some shooters on the floor.
Yeah, I know, right? But, yeah, okay. So he'll probably play. He'll definitely play a little bit. I saw a funny meme. I assume you're aware of the movie Hustlers, right? With Adam Sandler and Anthony Edwards. Like, I saw a meme that was like the scene where Anthony Edwards is trash talking Juancho Hernan Gomez. And it's like,
Cruz.
Jesus Christ. He's so bad. Hernan Gomez. I remember him on the Raptors. But, and it's like one Bronny steps on the court and then it shows the scene of Anthony Edwards trash talking him. That was kind of funny.
Okay. Continuing off in the West, 8-1. And then we'll get into awards and we will get into. Why is my Canucks game not loading as well? I would like to ask, but you're number 8 team in the West. I forget where
one
you left off,
here.
But.
Oh, God, where did I leave off? Hold on, let me just scan and make sure I've got everything reasonably correct. Yes, I had that. I have the Clippers out. Did I say the Pelicans yet?
I think
I'm
you
such
did.
Such a fraud. Yeah.
How do you not have a list of this?
I don't know. Kind of winging it.
The East is a lot easier.
I know.
Because there's like 9 teams you can say are going to make the play-in. And then.
Okay, hold on. Because I was doing this, I had like an article. Mm-hmm. So give me two minutes here.
Okay. Do you want me to go?
Yeah, you go.
Okay. I got the Phoenix Suns 8 seed. I have seen a lot of people be really high on them. I just do not trust them to stay healthy enough. And their starting lineup, it's a little bit weird, in my opinion. It's Tyus Jones. Devin Booker is moving back to the 2, which makes sense. But they got Beal playing the 3. KD's playing the 4. That's fine. Nurkic at the 5. That's fine. It's just something's off to me about them. Again, Beal's pretty injury prone at this point. I don't really think he's going to play that much again. And then KD is always bound to, like, get a hamstring or a calf injury at some point in the year. Booker has like an ankle issue normally too every once in a while. Like I just like the youth of other teams more to stay like healthy and stuff, if that makes sense, to finish higher. So I have them 8.
W. That's some W's right there, Mr. Maley. as I'm just about ready here to get going. Okay. Yeah, I definitely didn't say the Warriors.
I don't think you have yet.
No, so Warriors are my 8 seed.
Okay.
Tick tock goes the clock. The time is winding down on the old Steph Curry. I guess the Splash Bro era is over because Clay is gone. But Draymond, he's more known for his bullshit on and off the court than for being a good player. Steve Kerr is a good coach. We all know he's a good coach, but he's carried by his stars. And Curry's excellent, but he's getting old. He's like 35, 36, and I don't know that he can carry a team to the finals ever again. And Wiggins is good, but you can't rely on him to be in the lineup. Kuminga, he's all right, but he's never going to be a superstar. And remember James Wiseman? Good Lord. What a waste of a draft pick. But yeah, I have them in the 8th seed. Unless they get a major free agent in the next couple of years, LeBron James.
Well, he signed for 3 more, I believe. So or like 2 more, sorry.
Look, you think they're not going to trade him if he asks? Like, he's without a big free agent, maybe a Kevin Durant reunion.
The fact that Bronny is there now, though, I just think he's going to stay.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, it's hard to say, really, with them. So, 8 seed for Golden State.
Okay. My number 7 seed. You had them outside the play-in, I believe. I have the Houston Rockets. I am high on the Houston Rockets this year.
Yeah, I remember. I think I had them just outside.
Yeah, I think you had them at 11,
yeah,
if I'm not
that's
mistaken.
What I had.
I'm high on them this year. They were red hot down the stretch last year. They nearly got in the playoffs. Almost knocked out Golden State. I think it won like 8 or 9 straight games towards the end of the year, and they really pushed Golden State like to the brink. I'm high on their young core taking that like next step kind of thing. I like Jalen Green. I think he can be a really good scorer. Other than that, not sure. Van Vliet's good as a complimentary point guard there. Amen Thompson's a good defender. Like to see him develop a little more. Dylan Brooks is Dylan Brooks, whatever. He'll do a Dylan
Brooks
thing.
He's a good player. People cloud themselves with Dylan Brooks because of his bullshit. He's objectively good at basketball.
As long as Dylan Brooks realizes this year that he should not be shooting like 10 shots a game or 15 shots a game.
His efficiency was pretty good. I think he shot 34 from three. That's
okay,
that's not
yeah,
horrible.
Shoot your threes, but he takes way too many like shots thinking he's the guy and stuff.
Well,
and
he thinks he's 1995 Rodman, which is the problem with his antics. Like he thinks people care about what he has to say. Which and I love Dylan Brooks, but I remember the Olympics, like he was getting booed by like the French supporters, and I was like, this is bad, and it was bad in the end.
Yeah, Sengun, I'm high on Cam Whitmore, second year. I hope he'll take a step because he fell quite far in the draft 2 years ago, or a year ago, I guess. So I'm kind of looking for him to take another step. And they got Reed Shepard, who many are saying is going to be the rookie of the year this year because he looked very good
many
in preseason and the summer
saying...
camp. And he'll be like a good floor spacer if he gets minutes, which I think he probably will. But yeah, they're my 7 seed. I'm higher on them this year.
Nice. I think my 7 seed is going to be, in fact, this is going to be a bit of a stunner, Nathan. So I hope you're ready for it.
Yeah.
Phoenix Suns.
Wow. So stunned.
Sunned more like. But I don't believe in this itineration. I don't think they can win together. They got Vogel fired after 1 year, and I think he's a good coach. They got Monty Williams fired because Kevin Durant didn't, or not Monty Williams, their other coach before Frank Vogel, whoever that was. But he's gone. I mean, what are we doing here? Like Kevin Durant is one losing streak away from requesting a trade. This ain't Washington Wizards Bradley Beal. He's still very good, but he's a number three at this point, in my opinion. Nurkic isn't a high level center. They have no depth. This is my prediction. Durant is gone. It's either at the trade deadline or during free agency because they haven't won anything and he's a whiny little bitch. So Suns are in 7th place.
Okay. My number 6, I still consider this team to be a title contender. But I'm a little lower on them regular season wise than most, and I think part of it is just the West is really good. But I have the reigning Western Conference champion Dallas Mavericks in my 6th seed. I'm not the highest on like Clay will be like a good veteran. How good is he anymore? Like he
not
has
very.
Not been shooting very well recently. His defense is taking a step back because of the injuries. I'm not fully there on them as a regular season team. They've kind of struggled in years past in the regular season. Last year, even I think they were the four seed only, and they made the West Finals, or they made the finals. Sorry. Luka will be great. Don't get me wrong. Kyrie will be good again. I feel like we're like almost due for like a Kyrie antic this season though.
I
like
know.
it's been a little bit.
It's his time of month.
Yeah. I'm hoping Lively can take another step. Gafford's decent as a backup, I think. I hope it's Lively starting. I think he's better than Gafford. And they lost Derrick Jones Jr., who was a pretty good defensive player for them last year. And
are you sure it will not be Dwight Powell starting at center?
No, it will not. They are not Team Canada. But I think the Derrick Jones Jr. loss is going to be a little underratedly important because I don't think Clay is the same level defender as he is. They'll be able to stretch the floor a little better, but yeah.
Stretch the floor. I know shooting isn't something that depreciates with age because it's all in like 90% of shooting is mental, but like he was so bad last year, Clay. 0 for 10, baby.
Yeah. Anyways, you're number 6 seed.
Yep. Okay, I'm going to say the... Okay, my memory's failing a bit. I haven't mentioned the Grizzlies yet, have I?
I want to say you did.
Okay, yes. Right, because I'm such a fraud.
I think you mentioned the Grizzlies and the Pelicans already.
Yeah, I know I did. I know I did the Pelicans. Yes, I had the Grizzlies like 11th or 12th or for some reason.
I think you had them at, like in me. The play-in or some shit like that.
Yeah, okay. Okay, 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 okay. Okay, yes, yes, perfect. I know where I am. Yes, I'm on 7, right?
6.
6, yes. I have the Los Angeles Lakers of Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think LeBron's winning another championship in his career with this situation. Sorry, LeBron. But
they got Bronny. He's going to save them.
Woohoo! Can have like 4 minus 20 games and he'll be sent to wherever their G League affiliate is. South Bay, I think.
South Beach, I want to say.
I think it's South Bay.
Either. Oh, don't I think Bronny got in.
Is Sportsnet now playing it?
Bronny got in. He is 0 for 2 with a rebound. Missed 1-3.
You know they're going to feed him so he can get that point so they can get him the fuck off the court.
It's going to be LeBron. LeBron, corner 3, LeBron.
Imagine it's a lob. You know how cool that would be? And then he just whiffs and like hits the ground and has like a Gordon Hayward moment.
Well, no, it'd be Bronny throwing the lob to Bron.
But can you imagine? He goes Gordon Hayward. Anyway, alas. But yeah, D'Angelo Russell, Laker fans hate him. Austin Reeves is a cool player, but he's not a star. Anthony Davis, I know he was reasonably healthy the past couple years, but he's one thing away from the old folks home, right? So I just don't believe. I know I'm also a bit of a registered LeBron hater. Well, not hater. I have a lot of respect for LeBron. But I don't know. I think this is it for them. I think it's it for him. He'll end his career with 4 rings and on my list, number 2 to Michael Jordan.
You still call me a LeBron Glazer or whatever? LeBron sexually?
No, what's his name has taken the throne. So
Wemby.
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%. My number 5 seed is the Denver Nuggets. I'm expecting a little bit of fall off. There's apparently issues with Malone and the Denver front office. Mike Malone, their head coach.
Why?
They apparently they have creative differences or something like that about where the direction
creative
is,
differences
like where the direction of the team is going. I think so. I don't think he's like that. The fact they lost Bruce Brown last offseason and then this offseason it was KCP they lost. I don't think he's really like that.
Well, boohoo. I mean, like you have a salary cap. I mean, oh well.
Yeah. So I think those two pieces are pretty important. It showed last year in the playoffs. Like they really missed Bruce Brown, I think. His ability to like play make a little bit, shoot when he needed to, play good defense. And now you lost even more in that in KCP, because KCP is a good 3-and-D player. Objectively. I think that's a pretty fair statement to say. Jamal Murray, I'm not sold on his health.
Me neither.
I'm a little worried. He's gonna prove it. Jokic will still be great. He'll still put up Jokic numbers. MPJ, we'll see how MPJ reacts with all this shit going on with his brothers. How mentally that's going to affect him, maybe.
I don't know. I mean, it's not like they're all... It's kind of crazy how all that would happen to one family, but...
I don't know. I think they're lacking a little bit of depth right now. And I think now might be a time to take like a step back a little bit. They'll still be a good team. They'll still be a playoff team and probably a title contender, but 5 seed for me.
Okay. Acceptable. My 5 seed is going to be the... Yeah, I'm also going to say the Nuggets for reasons above. Jamal Murray, like, I was stunned by how bad he was in the Olympics. Because he had a couple weeks to recover from his whatever injury he sustained. And he just looks so off. And he's so much better than that. Because he's usually playing with pace and speed and he can pass and he can shoot. He can do a whole bunch of things well. And he just did none of that. And Jokic is awesome, but they don't have the shooting they used to. They don't have the depth. If this stuff with Mike Malone is true, that's very weird, but hopefully they get that sorted out. I like it when small market teams do well. I was very happy when Milwaukee won a few years ago. It's nice that they're not just feeder organizations anymore for the big teams. So that's good. Their window is still open, but I'm expecting a couple moves at the deadline to help shore it up a little bit.
Yep, fair enough. My number 4 seed is the Memphis Grizzlies. I'm expecting them to be much healthier this year, I think. That's kind of where my stance is with them. They were supposed to be good last year, and they were so injured. They could not weather Ja being out right away, and then Ja came back. They looked all right for a little bit, and then Ja went down after like 5 games. Desmond Bane missed time, I believe, with a calf strain at times, I want to say. Like later in the year, but they were like out of it. But then maybe his ankle. No, his ankle. That's what it was. Jaren Jackson Jr. couldn't really stay healthy last year either. They were playing like G Leaguers as like a starting five at one point, I remember. They did develop some like young guys, I think, though. Like it was good, valuable minutes for them to play. And they got a good draft pick. They picked up Zach Edey, who I know you're pretty high on, I'm pretty sure, right?
Am I?
No, maybe I'm thinking of Connor. That's Connor, who's high on
he's
him.
So raw, like he's just big.
Mm-hmm. Do you know he's the rookie of the year favorite right now?
Well, there's no good rookies. That's part of the problem.
Yeah. No, I'm expecting like their starting lineup probably looks like what Edey at center, Jackson at the 4, Bane at the 2/3, probably the 3, and then Smart at the 2 and Jaw at the 1.
Something like that.
Decent starting lineup. They got a good like mix of scoring, shooting, defense in there. So it could be good. We'll see how these young guys that played last year develop, I guess, being relegated back to bench roles. So, but I'm high on them. I think Jaw's going to come back with like a vengeance and prove that he's actually one of the better point guards in the league again. Because I feel like everyone is very down on him right now. So number 4.
Cool. Okay. Now I'm on 4. Right. Yeah, I'm a 4. I have the Sacramento Kings. Is this surprising in a good way?
You are high on them because I had them as my 9 seed. Holy shit.
I'm ready. It's happening. It's happening. Malik Monk season, baby. Domantas Sabonis. I think they're going to be good. I think DeRozan's in a good situation here. He's not expected to be a number 1 or even a number 2. Just get your points, DeMar. Get your free throws. Get your couple of assists. Play bad defense. Do your thing. Then hope Fox can carry you in the playoffs. Because Fox isn't much of a shooter, but Monk is. So I like the Kings. I like the Beam team. Frankly, this is one's kind of based on vibes a little bit for me. I just like the Kings, and I like how they roll. So hopefully they can do well. But you never really know with the West. The West is an odd conference to pick. So, 4th place.
I got the New Orleans Pelicans at 3.
Ooh, that's higher than I have.
I know. They're a weird team. Whenever Zion is healthy, they're a good team. And I'm kind of banking on Zion to be healthy this year. The only thing that concerns me really about this team, like, I like their depth. I like their defense. Like, Trey Murphy's really good. I'm trying to forget who's their other wing. Herb Jones, he's great, too. Great defensively. Good 3-and-D guys. I like the DeJounte Murray pickup. He can go back to his traditional point guard ways now. McCollum can move back to his traditional number two guard ways. The thing that scares me about this team a lot is they don't really have a center. They kind of lack one badly. I think they're going to run like Trey Murphy at the five or like Zion at the five in small ball situations at times. Zion is like 6'6".
Valanciunas isn't there anymore, is he?
Nope, he's in Washington.
Right.
So I'm a little concerned for them. They don't even have Jackson Hayes anymore. He's in the Lakers. Fuck. Like I'm scared for their center depth. They probably need to go get one. And if they're not going to sign Brandon Ingram, I don't think they have.
Yeah, it's weird.
Maybe you consider trading him for a center. The long rumor has been him for Jared Allen, which I think makes sense for both teams. But yeah, I'm higher on them than most, I feel like. So 3 seed.
Okay, cool. My 3 seed, I'm going to have the Mavericks. Luka is a kind of player where if he's healthy, I'm not going to bet against that talent. And same kind of goes for Kyrie. If he's got his head screwed on straight and he's focused on basketball, that has the potential to be the best 1-2 punch in basketball, I think. And like you mentioned, Gafford's a good player. The other center, Lively, he's fun. They're well coached. So Jason Kidd's done pretty well there. They have an owner who's willing to spend, Mark Cuban. Although I don't think he's a principal owner anymore.
No, he's...
He's on his way out.
He still like has control of like basketball operations a little bit, weirdly enough. But he is no longer like the majority owner. He's trying to get out. People are thinking he's going to like run for president in a couple years.
That's not going to happen. Anyway, this election's gonna be so fucked up. But anyway,
I'm very excited for this election.
You shouldn't be.
Well,
it's gonna be so bloody. It's gonna be bad.
I guess why I'm so excited though is because I've never really got to witness an election like this of like such stakes and stuff.
Well, buckle in.
With being interested, I guess. So
yeah, buckle up.
I'm seeing a lot of TikTok. About people's views from like both sides, and it's a tough one,
alas, but we'll see. Mavericks are a good team. The clock isn't ticking, but I do wonder how much longer Luka and Kyrie are going to stay together without a championship, because eventually Kyrie's going to do something, or Luka's going to be like, I need some more help, and you're like, you know, they need number three, and Klay's not a number three,
not anymore. No. My number 2 seed, I believe we have the same top 2 seeds at this point, and they're probably going to be the same because I have the Minnesota Timberwolves at number 2. It'll be interesting to see how long it takes like Randall to gel and DiVincenzo to gel. I think DiVincenzo is going to be good off the bench. Randall, I'm a little bit more concerned about. They've lost a lot of shooting, I think. Well, not a lot. They picked up DiVincenzo, but he's coming off the bench most likely, so we'll see how that goes. Their starting lineup, I think, is going to be like Conley, Jaden McDaniels, or Jalen. Is it Jaden or Jalen? Jaden McDaniels.
Jalen's the bad one.
Yes. Yeah. I know there was a bad one. There's a good one. It's Jaden. And then they have, it'll be Randall at the 4, Gobert at the 5, DiVincenzo, like your 6th man, Nikhil Alexander Walker off the bench. I still believe in this team. I think Ant is like one of those guys, and I think Ant's going to take that step this year somehow of being, hey, look at me, I'm the guy. I think, feel like he already did a bunch last year. I think he's going to do it even more this year. So my number 2 seed.
And I just noticed that Bronny and LeBron checked in together, and that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
So good for them. Let's just speed run these last two because we have the same. Yeah. I have Wolves 2, Thunder 1. I don't like the Wolves trade trading Towns away. I thought it was a mistake, but they're still very good. I think Anthony Edwards is a magnetic talent both on and off the court. One of the brightest young talents in the league, and I'm excited to see where his career takes him and how we think of him when it's all said and done, because if they win, he's going to play football, apparently. But we'll see what happens with him. I really enjoy. Yeah, you didn't see that?
No, what?
He said if he wins a ring in a couple by like age 26, he's going to go play football.
What the fuck? I did not hear this.
Geez, Nathan. That's insane.
Was this from the ESPN article about him and
I don't know. I didn't get sent it, I swear. Okay. It was definitely a real thing.
I did not hear about this. Okay. I feel like you might have got sent it, to be honest.
No, I definitely didn't, because Derrick Henry was talking about it.
Okay.
But yeah, so that'd be cool. I like Minnesota. Their fans deserve a little bit of happiness because Minnesota sports is such a cesspool of pain.
Yes.
So yeah, they're number two and number one. Thunder, so well built. Congrats to Sam Presti and his rebuild. My guy Shea, my guy Dort, my guy Chet,
Hey,
J Dub, J
Chet's my
Will.
guy this year, though.
Gosh, he's so skinny. Like Wemby apparently has put on some muscle.
I
Chet
think he's
is
put on like
so
15
skinny.
pounds. Yeah,
Like
Wemby
he is
put on.
so skinny. Like it's kind of insane.
Yeah,
But
so.
yeah, so we'll see. We'll see where things go.
They picked up Hartenstein and Caruso, which I think were great fits for that. They don't
Yes,
need big
Caruso's a
stars.
really
They
good fit.
need those two like role players. Like Caruso will be a great 3-and-D player for them, and then Hartenstein provides a little bit more like beef on the interior and rebounding because Chet will probably get bullied at times. But Hartenstein is out for 4 to 6 weeks. I believe he broke his hand or broke a bone in his hand, something like that. Finger, I don't know. Yes, they're my one seed as well. Awards. We'll try and rip through these, I guess. Who I think I know who your MVP is, but
Do you? Do
yes,
you? Do you? Do you?
I think I do.
You want to go first? I'm ready. I just need to clear my thoughts.
Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. I think the Thunder are going to be very special this year, and I think he's going to put up like the same numbers as last year, where I believe he was a finalist, or I believe, yeah, it was him, Luka, and Jokic, right, as finalists.
I want to say that is correct.
I think he's gonna lead them to the one seed this year. I think he's gonna put up like the same numbers, and they're gonna be like a 60-plus win team, like a 60-win team this year, and he will win MVP because of it.
How interesting. My MVP is, I'd like a drum roll. Yep, bang, 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 bang. Nathan's drum rolling. Get all that hype. It's also Shea.
Yeah, I knew it. You picked him
The
last year too, so
I
I
know.
knew you were going to pick him again
I
this
love
year.
Shea. I love watching him play. I love someone that's I'm a guy. I like players who can shoot, but I also like players who have it in their back pocket, but don't just chuck threes the whole game. So, congrats to him for having such a well-rounded skill set.
My rookie of the year is Bronny James. Just kidding. You really thought I was going to go there, didn't you? No,
No.
it is going a little bit off the board, though. I feel like I believe he's top five in odds, but feeling he's not talked about enough. I'm going Matis Buzelis of the
Ooh.
Chicago Bulls.
Ooh.
Chicago Bulls guy. I believe he was drafted like seventh or eighth or something like that this year.
Crazy how bad this draft was. I don't know who the seventh overall pick was.
I don't know. I think I'm kind of high on him. I feel like he's gonna be good. Chicago. He's from Chicago too. I don't know. Feel good story. I don't really like any of the rookie of the year picks, to be honest. So,
Me
I
neither.
don't really like picking Edie because I think Edie is might come off the bench for a bit. I don't think he's gonna be as
I don't even think
impactful
he's
as
going to be
people
that
hyping him.
good.
Yeah, I don't think he's gonna be as impactful as people been hyping him up to be. So,
My pick's Ben Simmons. I'm such a comedian. Like, I'm just gonna go Zachary
he was
Richisher.
under consideration for me as well.
Yeah. Frankly, this is like an Anthony Bennett level rookie class. It's so bad. Like the whole top 10 might turn out to be bust. It's that bad. So I'll say Richisher. I'll be boring because it's fun to say Richisher. Richisher.
Richisher, I believe.
Richisher.
Yeah.
Oh, right, he's French. So
Yeah.
yeah. So good for you.
Defensive player.
DPOY.
Yeah. You know who I'm picking. Don't even need to say it.
Victor Wembanyama.
Yes. No, I don't even need to explain my reasoning. You know why.
Nope. We know why. 'Cause you're in love. He's,
Well,
but yeah,
also,
no.
he's going to block like 3.5 shots a game, and the Spurs defense will probably be better.
Yeah, I got Wembanyama as well. I was thinking about Giannis, but I don't think he's going to play every game this year. So we'll see.
Sixth man of the year.
Me first or you first? Yeah, you go first.
I got Dante DiVincenzo. I think he's gonna come play like valuable minutes off the Wolves bench, and he's gonna hit some threes, gonna play decent defense. He's out to prove something this year because he's a little bit pissed off about getting traded from the Knicks, as that preseason game showed.
I know that was weird. You don't see that very often.
That's gonna be a fun game to watch when they play, I think. Hopefully it's like a prime time game because I want to be able to watch that.
Okay.
Yeah, and I feel like the Sixth Man of the Year kind of normally goes to guys who are on good teams kind of thing. I was considering Norman Powell because I think he's going to start for the first bit of the year until Kawhi's back, and that will probably boost his stats up. But I feel like he might – I don't really know enough about Kawhi in this situation. I feel like he might be out much longer than we think.
Yeah, and he's like Embiid. He's not going to ever play back-to-back again.
No.
So my sixth man's Malik Monk.
Yeah, I knew
I'm high on the Kings.
After the Kings pick.
Yeah. So really good shooter, really good complimentary player. So I expect him to have another big year.
Yeah. Most improved player. Yeah. I hate picking this one.
It's hard.
As well as the rookie of the year this year. It's just like, it can be anybody. No, it will not be Wembanyama, even though he's the betting favorite. It shouldn't be.
No.
If it is, then I'm going to lose my mind because that's not what the most improved player is for. So I'm going to go with Jonathan Kuminga. He's the number two now in Golden State, and he'll get looks, a lot of looks, and he'll put up good numbers. And yeah, he's going to win, in my opinion.
I'm going to go Scoot Henderson.
Ooh, I like it.
Yeah, because he was so bad last year.
I don't like giving it to second-year players normally, but I like that second-year pick.
Yeah, he was not good. There's a little more talent around him. He's not going to – the expectations are probably a little lower. And this might be like a De'Aaron Fox situation where you just need a year to acclimatize.
My only dislike maybe about it is the fact that he's on the 15th seed or the 14th or 15th seed in the West. Like, he's not going to
I don't
be
think
that
should factor. I think it should just be pure – is this player – how much did this player improve? Okay. Who cares about the record?
Clutch player of the year. Did you write this one? I don't know. The clutch.
No, but I can think
it's
of one.
It's a new one. I'm going to go Luka.
Okay. I
feel like he'll hit a couple six shots.
I'll go Steph Curry.
Yeah, that was the other choice I was considering.
Are we going to do
I kinda
coach?
Want... Yeah, I have a coach. And then I can come up with a GM too pretty easily.
I can't do a GM. I don't know enough for the GMs in the league.
Oh, okay. I'll do my GM right now. And you'll
Bobby
probably
Webster.
Follow... You'll probably follow suit. Sam Presti.
Okay. I'll take that.
I think his offseason moves are going to pay off really good for the Thunder. And then clutch player of the year. Coach of the year. Sorry. We just did clutch. I'm going to go Willie Green in New Orleans. I'm high on them this year. I think I kind of got to back it up.
Remember, this is chosen by the media.
Right.
So I'm going to say JJ Redick because his media buddies are going to love him too much.
Fair. I just am not that high on the Lakers.
Me neither.
Redick as
but
a coach.
It's going to be a fraud. The election will be a fraud.
That wraps up the awards. Your NBA Finals pick.
I have the Oklahoma City Thunder defeating the Boston Celtics in the finals. I'm going to be so boring and choose what probably most people are saying. It's going to be very close. Jason Tatum's going to be really corny. And they're going to just win by the skin of their teeth. It'll probably go six or seven games. And Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is your finals MVP.
Oh, the Thunder are winning.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. I thought you said this.
Nope.
Oh, wait. You said it at the beginning. Never mind. I also hate it. I have the Thunder winning. I'm a little concerned just because everyone's picking it. But I think they're just so well built. And they've kind of had their playoff loss last year a little bit as one seed. They've kind of got the experience, know what they need to do. And I think they're just going to be almost like an unstoppable force this year. Coming in as the finalist in the East, I am going with the New York Knicks. I'm going to say Porzingis can't stay healthy come playoffs. And I think the Celtics, if they go through one more injury come playoff time, whether it's Tatum, Brown, Holiday, Derek White, Horford, it's going to cost them.
Fair.
I'm going to bank on it because last year they were kind of the healthiest team besides Porzingis, but he got hurt, I think, in the finals. So I'm going to bank on Porzingis probably not being that reliable and healthy. And I'm going to say they go through one more kind of injury that nags a player throughout the playoffs and the Knicks get by them and go to the finals for the first time in 30 years.
Yeah, because it's one of the Rockets rings.
Yeah.
Whichever one that one is. 94 and 95.
Yeah, so...
94.
But they lose to the Thunder because SGA is an unstoppable force, and he completes one of the best, well, kind of what people consider the best seasons of all time, where you win MVP and you win finals MVP in the finals in the same year.
Yeah.
That wraps up all I have to say, unless you have anything. Do we want to check Bronny's stats again?
I think he's still at zero.
Yeah, but... he played 2 minutes and he's out of the game again.
Man, the Clippers. For Pandemic P. What a trade. For your boy.
I don't think it's as bad. It's not great, but I think it's fine.
Well, if you win a ring, you can accept it, but they didn't even make a finals.
Yeah. But the thing is, though, if they don't trade for Paul George, Kawhi doesn't come, and they're maybe stuck in mediocrity behind the Lakers' shadow for years.
Maybe.
Because remember, when this trade happened, free agency had passed a little. Like, it was like 6 days past July 1 when Kawhi signed.
I don't think their free agency is July 1. I thought it was like the 5th.
No, it's...
There's a moratorium.
Yeah, where everyone's eyes. It's not July 1, but like... I think it's like July 28th or some shit like that. Or you know what I mean? Like, yeah. They can't sign until like July 5th, but like Kawhi didn't sign. Kawhi wasn't reported anywhere until like July 6th or 7th, I remember.
Yeah.
But if they don't get Paul George, Kawhi doesn't come. Kawhi comes back to the Raptors. And then...
I wonder if he signed like a Supermax with like the understanding that if we haven't won in 2 years, you trade me. Or if he does like a 1+1.
Maybe a 2+. No, he signed like a 2+1 with the Clippers. I know, but like... So I wonder if he does something like that with the Raptors.
Because remember, because it was a team he was with, they could have paid him the most amount of money. Yes. So I wonder if they'd give him like a 5-year, 205 or whatever it would have been at the time.
Oh, they definitely said to Kawhi, here, tell us your amount of years. Tell us what kind of clauses you want. We'll pay it. There's no way they tried to negotiate anything else.
Well, of course not. But the question is, what does he accept if he was going to accept?
I think it would have been similar to the Clippers deal that he signed.
Probably.
But yeah, wraps up this episode, I believe. I don't got anything else to say. I want to go to bed soon-ish.
Yep.
It's 8:25, even though I got like 4.5 hours of sleep last night, so I'm gassed. If you got this far, thanks for listening. Appreciate it. And we will catch you, what are we doing next week? I don't even know. World Series will be midway through. We'll discuss that. And then NFL recap, whatever comes up in the NHL, and NBA week one recap, I guess. So kind of sucks now. There's no off seasons to talk about until baseball comes, but baseball is it's so bad.
I hate baseball off season with a fiery passion.
We'll see. A quick question actually before we wrap this up. Where's Juan Soto go? Does he sign in New York?
I think he stays in New York.
I think he's gonna leave.
For what?
I don't know where, but I think he's going to leave.
The Angels. Blue Jays.
No, don't get Blue Jays fans going on that again, please.
Think Ohtani was going to go there until Morosi started his shit.
Yeah. I remember we were at school and we were just flipping our shit. But anyways, got this far. Thanks for listening. We will catch you in the next episode. Peace out.
Bye.